lighting a candle each of the four Sundays. Last week we lit a candle representing hope, and this morning light a candle representing peace. As I have told you, we are preaching a series of message, Christmas, a season of hope, which we ministered last week, and I really do wish you would go and listen to that if you weren't here. Today I want to talk with you about a Christmas, a season of peace. And Advent is really about rediscovering what Christmas is all about in a very real way. And we've pulled up, everybody's familiar with this. This used to actually play on public TV. And now it's politically incorrect to play at home. But have you ever felt like screaming, does anybody know what Christmas is all about? I mean, perhaps you've said so this week. And I thought this is a great way to introduce the message that I want to talk with you about this morning.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
True, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Amen. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. It really is that simple. We complicate it in many ways, and yet it is really that simple. It's about Savior, Christ the Lord, that has been sent unto us. This morning, I just want to talk with you just for a moment about this passage. It's from the traditional Christmas passage. I want to talk with you about Christmas, a season of peace. What is ironic about this message that I want to share with you this morning is that that time was anything but peaceful. When in the first place, Jerusalem and Bethlehem and the whole region that was there was anything but a peaceful place. In the first place, the Roman army had occupied, had conquered and was occupying the land. So on every street corner or at the front of every store or in every neighborhood, there was a regiment of armed Roman forces to enforce the peace. And so at every reminder, they were reminded that they were occupied. It was anything but a peaceful time. In the second place, there was Herod, who was a puppet ruler. Herod was the Jewish ruler over the land of Judea and over that area that was there. And yet he was just a puppet ruler. He was just a puppet under the Roman government. And to make it matters even worse, he was paranoid. You know the story. He was paranoid about this prophecy about a king that would be coming. And so there was this tension that was there in the land, this tension from Herod that this coming king that would be coming. In the third place, there were the religious leaders. Desperately, the Jewish religious leaders desperately trying to hold on to their position and their power. And you see that played out all through Christ's life. But so there was this tension in the air, this forced peace in the air. There was this worry and anxiety. And for the common man, it faced him every day. Every day he ran into it. So the land was anything but peaceful. There was anything but a time of peace that was there. And yet in the midst of that, there comes this stunning, incredible message. Shepherds are out in the fields. And as you know, the story is they're out in the fields. They suddenly an angel appears to them. And what is it's interesting because it's supposed to be peaceful, but it says they were sore afraid. The word means terrified. Anybody ever been terrified? I mean, this angel shows up and it wasn't peaceful at all. The first sensation that they had was that of just terror, just being completely and totally afraid. And he said, I'll give you good tidings of great joy. And again, it was anything but joy. And by the way, on Christmas Eve, Sunday morning, we are having service that morning, and it's going to last about an hour. I invite you to come. I'm going to be preaching Christmas, a season of joy, that Sunday morning. I'm going to come back to this passage, but let me say, just for the sake of saying it here this morning, that it was supposed to be a great joy, and yet it was a time of terrifying. And yet, in the midst of this, he makes this stunning statement about a Savior, Christ the Lord, that is coming. And then he says this, he's joined by a host of angels. And this is where I want to concentrate on this morning. He's joined by a host of angels that says this in Luke chapter 2, verse 13 through 14. If you haven't turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 2. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward man. Notice this, in the midst of that time that was anything but peaceful, in the midst of that time that was anything but worry-free, in the midst of that time that was anything but free of anxiety, in the midst of that time, he comes and he announces this, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward man. This message that stuns, it comes into the midst of what is anything but peaceful. And he says, and he brings this message of peace. And that's what I want to talk with you this morning about Christmas, this season of peace that we are in the midst of. I would submit to you that many of you this morning would have to say, if I were to ask and ask a show of hands, I'm not going to this morning, but probably most of you would, if I were to ask and say, how many of you had anything but a peaceful week? I imagine a lot of you would probably rate, you know, my week was crazy. Mine and Geraldine's week was just absolute nuts this week. We're trying to do some of the behind the scenes things and get some tables and chairs delivered in right places and make sure the list was right and calling, and they called again and they called a third time. And it was just a crazy week. In the midst of that, we had two ministers meetings, Christmas type meetings, one in Adel and one in Thomasville. In the midst of that, and in the midst of all that, Danielle is packing. I mean, there are boxes in her room. Don't even let me get started there this morning. There are boxes lined up in her room because in about 4 weeks or so, she's actually moving to Missouri. And so it's our season is anything but peaceful. And yet in the midst of this season, in the midst of that time, you have the audacity to preach about Christmas, a season of peace. Here's the deal. When the angel said Christmas, a season of peace, he meant peace, not peace. Are you following me? He meant peace with a capital P, not peace with a little P. In other words, this Roman Caesar, you know, it's interesting. Augustus was praised for having inaugurated worldwide peace. He was praised for having inaugurated a worldwide peace. And yet it wasn't a peace at all. It was Pax Romana. That is a Roman phrase. Pax Romana, the Roman peace, the occupied peace, the forceful peace. So there was a peace in the land that was a forced peace. It was a forced peace. This peace is identified with the absence of conflict, but that isn't necessarily at peace at all. This word peace that he's speaking about here, this word peace, actually, watch this, is the state of favor. Say it with me, favor. It's the state of favor. And notice what he's saying here. He's saying, what he has said is that an angel has announced that a Savior is coming that will save or rescue. The word Savior means rescue. A Savior will come that will rescue the people from their sins. He will be a rescuer, a Savior. And it says, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It's this state of blessing and of favor. This is the stunning announcement. What the announcement the angel is making is this, is God deserves to be praised. God deserves to have glory. God deserves to have honor and praise unto him. Why? Because of this state of favor that he is bringing upon the earth. This is what I want you to understand and get through to you this morning is this. True peace in the season that we live in today. This is a quote that I want you to remember from the message that I'm preaching this morning about me. True peace is not an act of force, but of favor. Say it with me this morning. Favor. True peace is not an act of force, but of favor. It's not the absence of conflict, but it is the presence of Almighty God. You understand what the angel is saying this morning? He's saying that God, he's saying glory and honor and blessing and praise to God, because in the midst of this situation, in the midst of anything that is anything but peaceful, in the midst of a situation that is anything but tranquil, in the midst of anything that in a situation that is anything, in the midst of that, God is bringing a savior. He is bringing a rescuer. He is bringing a deliverer in the middle. And because the deliverer has come, because the Savior has come, because the rescuer has come, you can have peace with a capital P, even when there's not peace with a little p. Why? Because peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of God. Peace is not the act of force. It is an act of favor. And you and I today, because of the Savior, walk in God's favor. In fact, what he said there was that he deserves glory. That word glory is an interesting word. It actually means the manifestation of praise and glory and honor to God. It is a manifestation of God's infinite and majestic nature. What the angel is saying is that God is about to do something that is going to change everything. He is going to manifest his glory. He's going to manifest his nature. He's going to manifest his love in such a way that it's going to fundamentally transform the way you think about peace. You think about peace as the absence of conflict, but from here forward, you're going to recognize that peace is the presence of God. So whether there is peace or not, there is peace in man's heart and in man's soul. Not only that, he says, peace is not an act of force. You know, we have become accustomed today. In fact, there was a huge discussion this week about the peace in the Middle East. And about the decisions that were being made about Jerusalem's capital. And I'm not about to get into all of that. But what fascinated me about it was this. The whole discussion formed around the idea that this will disturb the peace. I got news for you. There's not peace in the Middle East. And there's not going to be peace in the Middle East until the day that the Savior is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords in all of the earth. And that day is coming. What's fascinating about it, though, is that for you and I who have accepted the Savior, who have accepted the Messiah, who have made him King in our hearts and King in our lives, whether there is peace in the valley or not, there is peace in the heart. Whether there's peace in the world or not, there's peace inside of you and I. It is a season of peace. Now, Pastor, what does that have to do with where I live today and the place that I'm at today? See, listen to me. The angel was saying this. What is about to happen is fascinating. The dual nature of it. The dual nature of the announcement he made. He said, God is about to do something incredible, send a Savior, and it will accomplish two things. On the one hand, it will give God glory. It will give him praise. It will give him honor. And on the other hand, it will give man favor with God. That God, through his Savior, he gives man favor with God, and his favor rests upon your life and my life. It is a dual manifestation of God's infinite, majestic nature. And at the same time, it is a state of peace between God and man. Now think about it for a moment. That is exactly what the birth of Christ did. The birth and life of Christ manifested God's glory in our midst. He came as a child, lived as a man, died as a lamb, rose as a savior. It manifested. Listen, God's plan is a majestic plan. God's plan is an incredible plan. And there is glory in the highest that we sang about a few moments ago. Listen, because of God's plan, he does deserve glory. Because of God's plan, he does deserve honor. Because of God's plan, you understand, don't you, that on that Christmas Eve night, That angelic choir that sing is but a small portion of the glory that will happen one day. We are told in Revelation that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that people from every tongue and tribe and nation and those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth will all sing praises and glory. Hallelujah to him. Glory to him. Majestic is his name because of his plan. But not only that, finally, you and I walk in favor with God. Because of Jesus Christ, the price that he paid, the sacrifice that he made, you and I walk in that peace that we have in our lives. Listen, that's that state of bringing God glory and man walking in peace. That really is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. It's about God's glory and man having favor with God. That I couldn't earn that favor, right? I couldn't give enough to have that favor. I couldn't do enough to have that favor. I couldn't be good enough to have that favor. But he sent a rescuer. He sent a deliverer. He sent one who could walk up and be a lamb in my stead. And in that, you and I have that favor this morning. And we walk in that favor that we have with God. That's the, when he says peace, that means favor. Now understand what that means in your life and my life. What that means for us. You understand, don't you, this morning? As even though in my life there may not be the absence of conflict, I still walk in God's favor. Listen to me this morning now. There may not be the absence. In other words, my life and your life sometimes may be filled with conflict. It may be filled with anxiety. It may sometimes be filled with worry, but you can still, in the midst of it, you still have the favor of God. Just because something is going on around you doesn't mean it destroys the peace that is in you. Just because something comes against you doesn't mean it destroys the favor that is in you. When he said favor, he was talking about that which is sustained through the conflict, through the anxiety, through the worry. That is a message of Christmas this morning. Because here's what's fascinating about it. When Christ was born, not much changed in the world. And yet, everything changed. Right? Everything changed. The Pax Romana was still, the forced peace was still in existence, and yet he was the promise of a greater peace. The forced conflict was still in existence, and yet there was this presence of a divine favor that we have in him this morning. His peace. See, that favor that you and I walk in, that peace that you and I walk in, you and I have the ability today to walk in that peace in the midst of the situations that we're in. One of the greatest Christmas gifts that you can give anyone this season is to walk in the favor of God. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I'm talking about people who do not know peace, people that you work around, people that you go to school with, people that live in your neighborhood. They have no idea what real peace is, and yet they look in your life. They see you have the same issues they have. They see you have the same problems they have. They see you have the same conflict that they have, and yet there is a peace. There's a favor that is inside of you. One of the greatest things you can do is take that peace that you have in you and live it out this Christmas season so that people can know. Even though there's not peace, there is peace. And even though there may be conflict, there is still favor in your life and my life. Pastor, is that real? Is that real? I mean, I hear what you're talking, I hear what you're saying, but Pastor, is that real? Let me tell you a story this morning that I told on Wednesday night about 3 weeks ago, but I want to repeat it this morning because it goes so well with the point that I'm wanting to make for us today. In 1873, Anna Spafford boarded a ship from the United States headed to England, headed to Wales. About halfway through the journey, she was on a Fritsch liner, a Fritsch ship, and about halfway through the journey, an English ship in the night, for some reason, it never has been explained, but an English ship sideswiped the vessel and cut a 30-foot by 18-foot gash. From the moment of impact until the time the ship sank was 12 minutes. Anna had left her husband at home. Her and the four daughters were going on ahead of her husband while he finished some business. So she was there on the ship with her four daughters. The youngest was 3, the oldest was 11. As the ship began to sink, the alarm sprang and the lifeboats were about to deploy. And her, she took her four daughters by the hand and she ran, Mike, to the nearest lifeboat. And as she was about to approach the nearest lifeboat, she had this thought. Would I be able, she looks around and she sees all the other people and she had this thought. She says, would I be able to face these people at the judgment if my and my four daughters took a place on this boat and took it away from somebody who will never have the chance to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ ever again? She backed away from the lifeboat. And at that moment, the mast of the ship failed and crashed into that lifeboat and killed everyone on board. Over the next 12 minutes, as the ship began to sink, her older daughter said, Mama, it's going to be all right. God will protect us. And as the ship sank and they all went underwater, the last thing Anna Spafford remembers is her daughters being, from the rush of the water, her daughters being ripped from her. Somehow, a piece of debris floated up under Anna and she rose to the top. And she was one of 86, 236 died and 86 survived, and she was one of them. 6 weeks went by, and you remember there wasn't, this was 1873, there's not the communication then that there is now. 6 weeks went by, and she finally made it to Wells, and she cabled her husband, Horatio, 2 words, because he had heard by now of the sinking of the ship, 2 words, say, Anna, saved alone. Horatio goes down to the dock and he buys a first chance he gets, and he buys a ticket to go to Anna. About halfway through the voyage, it's a true story, about halfway through the voyage, the captain calls Horatio to his cabin and he says, sir, I hope this is not offensive, but I just thought you would want to know. We've done all the calculations best we can, and we are about to pass over the spot where the ship sank. And your four daughters were lost. Horatio goes out. The story is told. He goes out and he just stands on the bow of the ship as they, and just takes in the serene moment as he passes over. And he goes back to his cabin. And as he gets back to his cabin, something begins to come over him. And he pens these words. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Sing it with me. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Pastor, what are you talking about this morning? I'm talking about peace. Regardless of the conflict you are in, because the Savior has come, because the Rescuer has come, you can walk in the favor of God and in the peace of God, regardless of what is going on in your life. And can I tell you something this morning? That's the Christmas message that our world needs to hear today, because there's a lot of people out there that do not know the peace that you and I know this morning. Pastor, is that real? Oh, yeah, that's real. It was real for Anna and Horatio Spafford, and it's real for you this morning in the midst of your situation. I've pastored many of you this year through some difficult times and some hard times, and yet in the midst of it, even maybe some of you through tears and frustration, in the midst of it, you have said, it is well with my soul. Oh, yes. I love his words. He says this, when peace like a river attendeth my way. You know what he's saying? He's saying sometimes there is, it's just peaceful in my life. Sometimes it's just like a rare. Now, aren't you thankful that sometimes it is peaceful in your life? Sometimes I walk along and I'm just so blessed. And I thank God for that blessing in my life. And it's just a time and a season of peace. And that's what he says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, I'll walk in God's peace and it's just peaceful in my life. But then he contrasts that and he says, when sorrows like sea billows or waves roll. He said, yeah, there are some times of peace, and he said, there's some other times when it just seems like the waves are gonna sink me. It seems like the waves are gonna come over me. There's sometimes it seems like I won't live another minute, much less 12 minutes. He says, but in the midst of the peaceful and in the midst of the sorrow, because of the peace of God, because of the favor of God, because of the rescuer, the Savior who lives in my heart, it is well. It is well with my soul. This morning there is peace, not a forced peace, but favor. Not necessarily the absence of conflict or worry or anxiety, but the presence of God. Emmanuel, God is with us. And with him there is peace with God, goodwill toward men. I know you could argue this morning. You said, is there peace on earth and goodwill toward men? If you look at the news, you could argue that point. But if you know the good news, the news is going to tell you one thing. The good news is going to tell you something totally different. And I am thankful this morning that I don't live by Fox News or Cable News Network or MSNBC. I live by the good news of Jesus Christ. And it is well. It is well with my soul. Christmas is a season of peace. It is. So here's the challenge to you this morning. Here's my challenge. Spread the peace of Christmas by having it in your heart and carrying it with you, and you will sense the peace of God in your world. Amen? Carry it with you this morning. Will you stand with me? Pastor, how do I do that? I'll tell you, listen, be intentional about God's peace during this season. Be intentional about his peace. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Instead of picking up your phone and checking your Twitter or your Facebook, how about just spend some time with him first? God, I want to be intentional about your peace this week. Right? Instead of turning on the news, how about, in fact, how about a bit of this? Instead of Facebook, how about some FaceTime with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Be intentional about peace this week. I didn't know how it's going to end this. I think maybe to just sing a small chorus of that, it is well. Doesn't that just say something to your spirit during this season? Doesn't it just lift you this morning? Let's just sing a chorus or so of that. Yes.
With my soul, it is well.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It is well with my soul.
Declare it this morning. Declare it this morning.
It is well.
It is well.
With my soul.
With my soul. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. So this morning I declare to you, there is peace on earth and goodwill toward men because the Savior has come. I challenge you this week, be intentional about God's peace in your life and live that out in your world and watch God's peace rise up in the midst of it. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege of celebrating and remembering what Christmas is all about. It is about your hope. It is about your peace. It is about your love that I'll preach next week and joy the week after. And Lord, it is about you have come and you are coming again. Let us live in that moment this week. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Can I just reiterate before anybody moves, whether you normally come on Wednesday nights or not, this Wednesday night is a special Wednesday night. Can I invite you to just please and come with us? I've seen a little glimpse of what the kids are going to do. I've heard a little glimpse of what the youth are going to do. You want to be here and be a part of that. And I know the good cooks we have in this church, and you will want to be a part of that as well. So whether you come on Wednesday nights or not, show up, bring a Christmas dessert or snack, plenty to share. We're going to gather in the sanctuary for a little while and sing some hymns and the presentations, and then we're going to go over in the fellowship hall and just enjoy each other because, well, that's part of what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown, amen? Until I see you Wednesday night, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance on you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord this week. God bless you. We love you.